I'm Graham Sibley.
I'm Jan Bilton.
I'm Terry DeFellin.
And this is The Sound of Football. And welcome to another edition of the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Terry DeFellin and Jan Bilton. Hello, chaps.
Hello.
Hello.
So, this week, what are we going to talk about? Are we going to talk about the running? Are we going to talk about the Champions League? Are we going to talk about... No. We're not going to be talking about that at all. Just like a Charlie Adams speculative shot from 65 yards out, we're just going to be talking about games you've gone to see that didn't involve your club, but were on a similar sort of level. Yeah, that's going to look great on a marquee, isn't it?
That's a proper dissertation question, isn't it?
that does read like a Daily Mail website headline.
I've already forgotten the whole thing.
What are we talking about?
I should have written it down, shouldn't I? Listeners, bear with us because I think this one's going to be a good one. I mean, we're going to go a bit nostalgia. Yeah, sorry, Chris. we're going to talk about our experiences of going to see other football games that were sort of pretty much on a similar sort of level to the clubs that we support, and how we got on there. I'm going to be quite interested there because, like, I know most of your old stories about going to other clubs, Terry. But Jan, you're going to have a few. You're going to have a few northern ones, aren't you?
I do. I've got a couple of northern ones.
Mind you, you've got a northern one to throw in the mix as well, haven't you?
Do I?
Yes. Mind you, is Stockport northern?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, is it northern?
Not to me. it's in the deep south.
Really. In the Midlands, I think.
There's a proviso to my Stockport stories.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, fine. I'll tell you what, Terry, you kick us off. You tell us about football in the 90s.
Football in the 90s? Well, my football in the 90s was obviously Palace. I went to see Palace a lot. That's my club. But I was so hungry to watch football that I would go to watch football when Palace were away, and that would often take me to Craven Cottage. And of course, back in the 90s, you could go to football matches and go in to the games without having to book tickets or anything like that. So yeah. You could just rock up, so to speak, and I went to see, in fairness, we're talking about similar levels. This is at the time when Palace were in the first division.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah. And Fulham were in the fourth division. They were rubbish.
Yes.
And they were managed by a guy called Alan Dix. And
yes.
Jimmy Hill was the chairman of the club. Anyone who's been to Craven Cottage knows it is a lovely venue to go
it
and
is,
watch. And
yeah.
it was somewhat more rustic back then, it's just fair to say. But you were able to. They had a great German sausage stand, and you could go and buy a lovely German sausage at half time, and you could actually stand by the river at half time and watch. You can't do that now.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic, and it was all the better because the football was awful, and you didn't really mind. I mean, you just actually quite a kick out of watching Fulham support just melt. And of course, Alan Dix, being the name that he had.
Yes.
The whole, you know, what to do when you'd finally had enough of Alan, of the manager, and you wanted him out.
Yes.
The usual chant seemed somehow, well, I don't know, seemed to have another meaning. And there was speculation in some of the funnier or smarter football media as to when the time comes when they would finally give in and start shouting, "Dix out, Dix out, Dix out." Mm. I was there when it happened.
Yes, I don't
remember the game though. You may have been there as well.
I was there with at a game when they did start saying it, because I think wasn't it when they got knocked out of the cup to Hayes Town?
Yeah.
First
Friday
round of
night,
FA Cup, wasn't
that
it?
That was a game. That was brilliant. That
and
was,
I remember because Andy Cole was on loan from Arsenal. But he wasn't allowed to play. The Arsenal had stopped him playing just in case they wanted to
recall
actually,
him. Yeah.
Yeah, recall him. He'd just gone on loan there. He played in the Charity Shield, I think.
That's
and
right.
I think he played a couple of league games, and then he was shipped out to Fulham on loan. And he banged in a few goals for him.
Mm-hmm.
This was probably about a season or so before he went off to Newcastle. And, you know, the rest, as they say, is history. But, yeah, they struggled against Hayes Town. I don't know what level Hayes Town were at the time.
Well, I don't even think they were...
They were, yeah.
There must have been Isthmian League. I don't think they were conference. There was no conference south, so they might have been...
Yeah.
They could have been Isthmian Premier, which I guess would have been...
Would have been step two, I suppose.
But so, decent.
Yeah.
And not decent, particularly given that Fulham, although professional, were just ghastly, just horrible to watch.
Yeah, and they were, and it was a really cold December.
Evening. It was the first round game, wasn't it? Yeah, and it was a Friday.
Right by the river. On a Friday night. Yeah, I don't think it was televised or anything, was it?
No,
I think
it was just on a Friday.
Just on a Friday, wasn't it? Yeah.
No idea why they scheduled it for a Friday, but they did. Maybe Chelsea were at home or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that was when the first chance of Dick's out happened. Interestingly enough, I went to a couple of Stockport County games with a friend of mine, a colleague at the time, who was from Stockport. Mm. And we went to see him play Maidstone away, and we went to see him play Fulham, I think probably a few weeks afterwards. Mm. And I went and stood in the Stockport end because I was going with my mate. And of course, the wags there at Stockport, as you can imagine, when the chance of Dick's out happened, Dick's in. It was hilarious. Well, they thought it was hilarious.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, what were you doing around in the 90s? Who were you going to see?
I spent a bit of time in Middlesbrough, as my poly university.
Which
was still a thing then.
Change your age there, aren't you?
No, I think it was a university, but anyway. But I lived in a student house that was backed onto Ayresome Park.
Oh, right.
It was on Ayresome Park Road.
Oh, right. Okay.
So the actual the gates, which they always seem to film some story of Middlesbrough being sucked into liquidation or whatever, at was about six or seven doors down from me. And so I used to walk past it every day on the when I was stumbling back from the pub, probably walking. So,
yeah. I just think if Sky Sports News had been around then, you'd have been interviewed every other day, wouldn't you?
What do you think? But anyway, because it was so close, I used to go a few times, and I think maybe it was the first match I went to was against Derby County, which is the second team I went.
Right.
I watched, but only once or twice, I think, because I lived in Derby for a while. But I went to see them play, and it was and Marco Gabbiadini was playing for Derby, and so he'd obviously just got that. Did he go to Derby from Palace?
He certainly did. Yeah.
So he'd just gone there, and he was getting a lot of abuse from the Borough fans, and of course, no sympathy from me because of earlier incidents, which I think we've already gone through.
Yes, indeed.
I wasn't there to defend him. It was Ayresome Park, and you talked about being rustic. Ayresome Park was they were moving out, I think, that season. So, you know, they weren't interested in making it look any, you know, smarter, and that showed. And I think they probably held that thought for a couple of decades because it was horrific, and the fans had nothing but disdain for the place. It was horrible. I feel free to cut this bit out, but I remember when Borough scored, I was behind one of the goals with a few local lads who'd been on the pop for most of the day, and when they scored, they celebrated by urinating down the terrace, all of them. There was just a whole floor of
This was not uncommon in football, was it? Yeah. Urinating on terraces. I don't think.
But celebrating, I mean, they were. It was
right.
It was.
That's like a golden shower, so to
it was,
speak.
Because they certainly didn't do it at the riverside. But not that I noticed, anyway.
I've not looked into it, but is the modern innovation of safe standing? I mean, like, I hope it comes with like modern sewage systems and guttering. Perhaps.
I believe there is guttering for you know, if people do want to get nostalgic and start urinating on the terraces. Because, you know, I mean, everybody misses those days.
It wasn't the highlight of my footballing, football watching.
No, there are those that do celebrate those years.
Yes,
And fair play to them.
We are by actually talking about it, right?
Well, we are right there.
The thing is, that I don't wish to say Sunderland's a snootier club or anything, because we're certainly not. But I spent most of my early football watching years in the Roker end at Roker Park, and I don't think I ever witnessed anyone urinating all the way down the.
Maybe it never happened. People just have these kind of like vague memories.
Well, it definitely
maybe it just happened at Ayresome Park.
Or maybe these people just witnessed urinating and just stuck with them.
I must admit that. I mean, like, your brother-in-law's come along to the Leaf with us a few times. He's a Borough fan.
He is.
And I don't remember seeing him micturate when we score. I mean,
when we do score, he always seems to disappear off, take himself off to a corner somewhere, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think that's because someone may say, great, go and buy a drink. Or something.
Good heavens.
Don't do that. He comes back with four warm pints.
It's a scandalous accusation. Heard it all now.
You have heard it all now. Now, I remember us going to Sellers Park in the 90s to go and watch Wimbledon.
Yes.
When they were squatting there.
When they were squatting there. Yes. Indeed, yeah.
I do remember one game in particular when we went to see them play Newcastle.
Yes.
Which was a fantastic game.
That was brilliant. I'll never forget that.
Dean Holdsworth scored a hat trick that day?
It was Dean Holdsworth and I think John Fashion who got the other one. Yeah. Holdsworth and those two. This was Keegan's Newcastle.
Yeah.
But Keegan's Newcastle in their first promoted season, so they were decent.
Yeah.
But they were still pretty flawed and they were hopeless on set pieces.
Yeah.
And every time Wimbledon got a corner, you could see the Newcastle players losing weight. Just with the sheer terror of that. I mean, Wimbledon's side, a lot of things they said about that Wimbledon side back then. I mean, it's not quite the vintage of the 19 late 80s side, but they were a brutal team, absolutely brutal. I mean, not necessarily dirty, but just ridiculously physical.
Mm.
And they did have great skill, and Dean Holdsworth was a magnificent player.
He played an absolute blinder.
And he was superb in that game, and he just battered them. Battered them to death.
It was just a pity that there was hardly anybody there.
It is a shame there was hardly anybody there because it was a Wimbledon game.
Yeah.
Not many people turned up for Wimbledon games back then.
No, there was quite a lot of Newcastle fans had made the trip down there.
Yep.
And they were obviously a bit juiced up as well.
Well, I assume you can blame them.
They
had to come to Croydon all the way from Newcastle.
And being shown the door by Wimbledon, they weren't in the best of mood.
I get juiced up every time I have to go to Croydon. I live in South Croydon, so there you go.
I think it's always the best way to be, isn't it? Did you ever get along to Sellers Park when you moved down here?
Not to see Wimbledon play, but the company I used to work for was a minor sponsor. It sponsored some of the before the boards used to rotate and turn digital. They had a couple of boards there, so we used to get free tickets. So I used to go and see Palace quite a lot when I first came down here, actually. So
what division would they have been? Probably the second division. What am I saying? That's a bit of a daft question, actually, isn't it?
Almost certainly second tier.
The second tier, yeah, definitely. Yeah. But I saw them play one time, and Reza Ruddock was playing at the back four.
Oh my god!
And he got sent off for kicking.
Did he really?
There was a player who used to play for Palace. They clearly didn't used to get on, they just didn't get on the pitch. And Ruddock kicked this guy, and all his foot made complete contact with this guy's chest. And this fella went, down terribly. And Ruddock just started walking off. I mean, the referee didn't have time to brandish the card. He'd already left the field by the time the referee had got it out of his pocket. He left with standing ovation.
Yeah, that was a weird time that was. Because it was that kind of immediate post Terry Venables, Mark Goldberg era when things were really sort of like falling apart.
Yeah.
And he was
is that the Lombardo era?
I'm afraid it's past Lombardo. Oh, right. Yes, it is.
When he became manager?
Yeah, it was after then. Gone by that point. And the daft thing about Ruddock was you could see why people paid a lot of money for that guy. Because I only saw him play a couple of times. Once when he was playing at Southampton. And then towards the end of his career at Crystal Palace. And actually, he had a real eye for the ball.
Yeah.
And he knew where to put the ball. He was tactically a very clever guy, and he could stand at the back. And although he didn't have much movement, and although, yes, he was much better at fouling guys by that point than we do, that's always been his thing. And yes, you could see he was, although he was totally phoning it in, he was, he was actually, in many ways, he was the best player that we had, which is an indication of just how rotten things had got.
Mm.
At Selhurst.
Yeah, that was a bad time, actually.
That was a bad time.
Going to watch Palace we weren't
beating the champions of England back then.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose more recently, though, now, its cost has obviously made just popping along to a nearby football game a bit more prohibitive, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Usually, you're only going to go and see a club that isn't your own if you get comp tickets, aren't you?
Well, yeah, that's right. If you're fortunate enough to do that, and then very few people really get that opportunity.
Yeah.
Some do. I mean, there's always a good possibility that you'll know someone who works for a company that is a sponsor, and then they'll maybe be able to get a couple of tickets. But, I mean, I've been to see West Ham. I went to see Leighton Orient play. I've not been to all the London grounds, but during this time, I did go to as many as I felt comfortable going to.
Mm.
And actually, I think it is a shame that you can't do that. I think that's the biggest loss. Of the modern game is that you just can't buy, you just can't go to a stadium and buy a ticket.
Well, you've got to be able to justify it, haven't you? Really, I'm going to spend 40-odd quid on going to see.
It. I mean, back in the 90s, it was pushing a tenner, which was actually, affordable, but not cheap.
You'd miss it. No. Yeah, it was a good night out.
Yeah. So I mean, it was still a fairly hefty price, but Stamford Bridge, I think, was the only club around them which charged over a tenner to get in, which is shocking because Stamford Bridge is just such a. It is a very, very different stadium now. Mm. But I mean, anyone who remembers going there that time, I mean, especially the away end. I mean, you were miles away from the pitch. I mean,
you used to have dog tracks still around, didn't
you?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Was it had a dog track?
It used
to be a greyhound stadium.
That only changed in the mid 90s, didn't it?
Matthew Harding's money paid for all of that, or partly anyway.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And yeah, it was generally speaking, a terrible place to watch football.
Mm.
Yeah.
I would argue it remains a terrible place to watch football, but that's for another time.
Yes. Well, no, we had the chance to do that about five pods ago.
Yeah,
we
had bad mouthing Chelsea.
Well, this is what's known as balance, I think. Have you taken advantage of the number of internationals that are now being played in London, though?
No, I've been to one international game in my life.
Have you? What was that?
It was England versus Saudi Arabia at the old Wembley, and it was the week before, or maybe 2 weeks before the Sunderland Charlton playoff final. So I went to, I've never been to Wembley in my life, and I went twice in 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm.
And I went to that, and it was the first time I've been to Wembley, and I thought this is just abysmal. It's almost the same story. You could just swap out Wembley, England, for Middlesbrough, Ayresom Park, because it was exactly the same thing happened. It was just horrible, horrible stadium. It was full of piss. It was just horrible.
Wembley's awful.
I only went to the old Wembley once, and it was not a pleasant experience. I don't know about you, but it was not a pleasant experience.
No, it was really rough, horrible ground. Yeah.
The new Wembley isn't that much better.
Well, frankly, it's cleaner.
It
starts quite clean, and it gets progressively dirty. Saudi Arabia, though, we must have been going for a World Cup or something like that to have ended up inviting that lot over.
Must have been part of the 2006 bid.
Got to be. I mean, because I don't remember that game at all. I mean, and interestingly, around that time, you talked a few months ago, you talked about the kind of lost period in the 1990s.
Yeah.
At the back end of that decade, I sort of separated myself, shall we say, from the game and pursued other projects.
Yes.
And I wasn't watching football as much as I used to be.
Yeah.
And I don't remember that at all, them playing Saudi Arabia. God, blimey. I remember that Sunderland playoff.
There was that game, but that was in the 80s, wasn't it? When Bobby Robson played, was it Saudi Arabia? When the Sun put in the name of Allah, go.
Oh yeah, was that a friendly game? Was it? I thought that was a. Yeah, I suppose it probably was. Wasn't
I think it,
it couldn't
was.
Have been unless it was a World Cup game.
No.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Wow, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and it was dire game.
I mean, they had a decent ish team in fairness back then. Did they? Yeah. Actually, no, they did. It was 2002. It all went wrong for Saudi Arabia, but they were decent in 94 and 98.
Hmm.
So they weren't too bad. But
well, they were. This would have been, they were regular qualifiers, weren't they?
Yeah, but there's got to be all manner of wrong with bringing Saudi Arabia over. Anyway,
so that's the only one I can contribute.
Well, I remember seeing England not at Wembley, but I remember going to see England under 21s at. at the New Den.
At the New Den, I came with you.
Yeah, yeah. That was that must have been 91, 92?
Palace were playing in the Anglo-Italian Cup at the same time. They were playing Charlton in the Anglo-Italian Cup at the same time, but I went with you, and we took women with us.
We did.
To the Den.
Well, we thought it was safe because Millwall weren't playing.
Yes, there is that. And there was this crazy umpire band that did the national anthem. I don't know whether you remember that.
It was Poland.
And there was this three-piece umpire band that played the national anthem. Wow. Poland were shocking, though.
They were shocking. They got about nine bookings, I think, that game.
Such time waste. They won the game, and they did win the game, but they cheated, basically. I'm sorry to any Polish listeners, but they fucking cheated.
Yeah.
They were a disgrace for an under a junior team.
Yeah, and it was because the England side was full of the Spice Boys, wasn't it, at the time?
Yeah, it was a decent side. Well, it wasn't a decent side, actually. They were pretty awful. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it had players who went on to earn lots of money.
I've also gone to see, I went to Loftus Road a few years ago to see Nigeria play Paraguay.
Mm. That might have been decent.
Yeah. Now, I'm trying to remember what that was. I'm trying to think. I want to say, actually, it was a France 98 warm-up. But that seems... I think
that would have been a long time ago.
That would have been a long time ago. I don't think it was that far back now. But I think it was a World Cup warm-up of some... It might have been before Germany, actually.
Righto.
That sounds a bit more like...
We do have, in London, we have been blessed recently with international friendlies happening here.
Yes.
We went to see Fulham, went to Craven Cottage again, to see Australia versus Canada.
Yes. Which
was
on the...
That wasn't a very good day.
And that was actually on the same day as England's last qualifier, wasn't it?
So it's possible that we may have left proceedings slightly early
to go and watch
the last 10 minutes of the England game on the tellies outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, then, Terry, what's been your experience of going to see games that you haven't really got that much of a vested interest in?
Well, I used to enjoy doing that because I enjoy it as a neutral watching games. Well, I love watching games on telly.
Yeah.
I just like watching football. And usually, if you can coax a couple of mates to come along with you as well, then it's a grand afternoon out, and then it usually turns into a grand evening out as well. So I'm all for it, and I think it's a genuine loss that young football fans, or any football fans, frankly, these days can't really do that. I mean, dare we recount the Brentford anecdote one more time?
Well,
but that is precisely the kind of thing.
Yes.
That you couldn't do. You know, naively thought, we'll go to Brentford because when does Griffin Park sell out? And yadda, well, regular listeners know the rest of it. And if you're a new listener, then ask a regular listener what we're talking about. But yes.
I think mine was, I quite enjoyed, just looking back on it, that time I spent in Middlesbrough, seeing them change from being this team that played at old Victorian Stadium to change into a new one, because Sunderland had just recently done the same as well. And then suddenly they had all these fancy foreigners playing for them.
Yes.
They had
Rabinelli,
and the Brazilian chap,
Juninho.
He played. I saw them. In fact, you know, they might have played Derby again at the Riverside, and I think they put six past them. And those guys were on fire. So it was.
He said you saw Derby. Did you go to the baseball ground at all?
I did only once. But I lived in Derbyshire, Staffordshire. I went once. It doesn't really stick in my memory that much.
Oh, right. Yeah,
I don't think it was. No. I should talk about that. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. That's fine. No. Anecdotes that go absolutely nowhere are fine. And on that meandering note, I think it's probably time to drag up all the loose ends of this podcast and bring it to a close. But if you've got anything to comment, please do. We did notice that no one bothered to comment on our podcast about women's football last week. Well, there you go. Look, we tried to be progressive. You know, we tried, but obviously we hit it right on the money. So obviously, like, nothing we said was a surprise to anybody. Mm. So, but yeah, if we've said anything today that you know stirs a bit of nostalgia, then please get in touch with Chris Oakley at the Football Attic. And, I'm sure he'd love to hear from you.
In your tedious anecdote, as you've just been listening to now.
But from me, Graham Sibley, from Tony DeFella, and from Jan Bill, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Yes, it's Sound of Football Top Trumps. If you were listening last time, listeners, you will know that you won again, and your role continues. But Terry has a particularly impish look on his face, and he's giggling as well. Maybe he's been keeping a track on the Twitter mention. Maybe he knows what you've been looking at, because I put the picture of your card earlier, and Jan, who is it?
It's Edison Cavani.
Yeah, Edison Cavani.
What a player.
What a talented youngster he is. Well, not so young anymore.
Not that young.
No. We put his card out there, and, you know, he's quite a tall chap, isn't he?
He's quite tall.
South American.
He's another tall South American.
Another tall South American.
Out of the woodwork.
Height was one of the ones that was mentioned, and so was career goals. I mean, he's got 121 career goals. In this deck, you know, all right, if you're up against Scott Parker, yeah, you'll do all right. Well, I guess other people, maybe not so much. Mm. But the consensus was height.
Height. And height. It is? 184.
That's a good height to be, isn't it?
But centimetres, it was inches. It would be impressive.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's you're talking about Godzilla territory there, aren't you? You know, they'd be like crushing Japanese ports, then, wouldn't you?
Godzilla is tragically not in this deck.
Man alive, we've got to get that deck. Next time we're going to play the
Kaiju Top Trumps.
Oh, yeah. Oh, get it on.
I think we'd all agree that is.
And talking of Kaiju, who have you got?
Speaking of one, I've got the King of the Monsters himself, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Do feel free to drop in some Godzilla roars at this point, because they're thoroughly justified. I mean, he would have creamed Edison Cavani on goals, but and also pretty tall as well. 195.
195?
He's a big fella.
He's medically a giant.
He's a big Scandinavian giant.
He's a giant in every conceivable sense.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Join us again next time for some more Sound of Football Top Trumps.
Definitely tiny. Micro penis.
Do you think so? That would explain a hell of a lot, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. Yeah. There's a lot of anger in that man.
Angry small penis man.
it's the only explanation I can think of.
Everything else is enormous. Aside from
maybe it's just a normal sized penis and a giant man.
Sorry.
Pick up your cards.
Oh dear, right, okay.